what I want to talk about is how podcasting fits into the overall marketing structure for your business, right? Because that's what we talk to our audiences, like, how do you use content marketing and podcasting in particular as a way to drive attention and awareness and authority and, you know, that kind of stuff into your business so you can ultimately create leads and drive sales, right? Because if it doesn't impact the bottom line, why are we doing it, right? That's sort of a, you know, that's a business 101 kind of thing. And so I find it helpful when I'm talking to either potential clients or when we're speaking on stage about push button podcasts, any of those things, to have a framework for people to see all of the things that they might do in their marketing and how podcasting fits into that bigger picture. So what I want to do today is give our audience that bigger picture. And so the bigger picture for me is something we call the four B's of business, right? Or the four B's of lead generation. Welcome to PBP.FM, brought to you by Pushbutton Podcasts, your go-to resource for grabbing attention, building awareness, and creating authority in your marketplace. I'm Richard Matthews, your host and guide through the wonderful world of podcasting as a driver of business. Here, we teach how to use a multimedia podcast as the cornerstone of your omnipresent content marketing strategy. Whether you're an entrepreneur, podcaster, expert, or thought leader, you'll discover creative ways to leverage your digital content. From blogs to video, from YouTube to TikTok, and everything in between. I'll show you how to stand out from the noise so you can directly connect with potential customers, build strategic partnerships, and drive leads into your business. Get ready for actionable tips and tangible takeaways on improving your digital presence across the board. With that, let's dive into this week's episode of PBP.FM.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Push Button Podcast. I'm back here with Richard again, and today we're going to be talking about how podcasting can fit into like your business and how you find a target audience to talk to. So do you want to tell me a little bit about the strategy you had?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I want to talk about is how podcasting fits into the overall marketing structure for your business, right? Because that's what we talk to our audiences, like, how do you use content marketing and podcasting in particular as a way to drive attention and awareness and authority and, you know, that kind of stuff into your business so you can ultimately create leads and drive sales, right? Because if it doesn't impact the bottom line, why are we doing it, right? That's sort of a, you know, that's a business 101 kind of thing. And so I find it helpful when I'm talking to either potential clients or when we're speaking on stage about push button podcasts, any of those things, to have a framework for people to see all of the things that they might do in their marketing and how podcasting fits into that bigger picture. So what I want to do today is give our audience that bigger picture. And so The bigger picture for me is something we call the four B's of business, right? Or the four B's of lead generation. And because it just makes, one, the alliteration is fun and it makes it easy to remember, but it's buy, borrow, build, and blitz, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way that works is you have a business and your business has some sort of offer that is in the marketplace, right? And, you know, we were talking about this before we got on the call, right? Push Button Podcast, for instance, mm-hmm. we're a podcast post-production service. And so that's the offer that we put in the marketplace. A roofer fixes roofs for people who have broken roofs. Right? A restaurant offers food to people who are hungry, right? You have an offer that you put into the marketplace and there's a specific group of people, that's your audience, who have that problem and want it solved, right? Hungry people want food. That's what a restaurant does. And so if your business fits in that category of you have an offer that you have specific people that you can serve, right? That then your four categories of how you put your offer in front of those people are buy, borrow, build, and blitz, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk through each of those real quickly. But before I get into what they are, do you have any questions so far, like what that framework means?
I mean, I think, you know, we're about to get into it. And I think that framework definitely helps set up why a podcast can help you do some of those things. But I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those four B's integrate into the podcasting area of business.
Yeah, absolutely. So the four B's, they all fit into that marketing, sales, lead generation sort of world, depending on what you call it and where you're at in your business or what space you're in, whether you're doing sales or you're doing lead gen or you're doing door knocking. It doesn't really matter what's happening. You're doing some form of, I have an offer and I need to get that offer in front of someone who might have a problem that they're willing to pay money to have me solve that problem for them. And so when you think about your business that way, all businesses are doing that same thing. Mm-hmm. So the four categories are buy, the first one. And so that means you are buying access to someone else's audience, right? And so if you've ever done any form of advertising, you have done this, right? That's, you know, if you buy a billboard that you put up, you see the restaurant billboards that you see on the freeway all the time, or all, it seems like all the personal injury attorneys, they all buy billboards all up and down the streets in your city, right?
Very
and
much
those are like 80% of your billboards are restaurants and personal injury attorneys. And right, that's buying access to the audience on the road, right? And so that's useful because if you're a personal injury attorney and your largest set of business is people who have been in car accidents, it makes sense to put your offer in front of people who are driving cars, right? So that billboard works. If you're driving down the road and you have a restaurant with a drive-through, right? Hungry people on a trip, you know, makes sense. If you've ever been out to Las Vegas, there's lots of billboards for casinos because people are on their way up to Las Vegas. You want to make sure they know your casino is there. You're buying the audience on the road. And there's a lot of categories for this, but there's the buying audience on the radio. There's buying audience with the TV. There's buying audience on Netflix and YouTube and all of the media that is available. There's buying audience on Facebook. There's buying audience on TikTok. There's buying audience on Instagram. Anytime you see those little things that say sponsored post at the top on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, right? Those are all someone who is buying access to an audience, right? They're saying, I would like to take my offer and put it in front of these people. Right. So that's buy. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. So that's the first category.
That seems like the most simple category.
Yeah. It's the simplest one. Someone has an audience and they have Facebook. That's why Facebook actually is worth as much as it is, because they have the attention of billions of people. So they have the attention and they sell that attention to advertisers. Right.
Right.
So we can buy that attention as an advertiser and say, hey, I want to put my offer in front of this group of people. So that's the first one. It's the biggest category. And it's also one of the fastest moving categories. So I always like to talk about the speed, right? So if you have an offer and you want to test it in front of the marketplace, buy is one of the fastest ways that you can get feedback from the marketplace to see whether or not your offer works, whether or not people are interested in it, or whether or not the right types of people respond, right? Because you might have to change your messaging or change your offer to get the right types of people to respond to it. You can test really quickly when you're buying ads, at least nowadays with all the tracking and, you know, Google stuff that you can do with buying ads. So that is not our world, right? That's not what we do. It is something we know enough about because we do it ourselves for our business. We buy audiences, but it's not like our service provision, right? There's lots of agencies out there that help people with that. So if you have more questions on it, there's definitely some things we can make some recommendations or even put some stuff together if you have questions about it. You know, leave some stuff in the comments and we'll follow up with places you can go. My favorite, by the way, if you are looking for someone to teach you about buying audience, would be adskills.com. One of my good friends is the CEO over there. And all they do is they teach people how to buy audience and all the different ways that you can do it. So that's a really cool resource for that. The second category is borrow. Borrow is one of my favorite, and it's also one of the least used. And the borrow audience is when you are looking at things like JV partnerships, for instance. Right? A JV partnership is something like you got a chiropractor who's in one office, and the next door you got a massage parlor, and they both serve the same people, right? People who have sore muscles or sore something. Right. And so the chiropractor and the massage parlor person, they both get together and say, hey, how about every time someone comes into your massage parlor, you offer them a gift certificate for $100 off to come over and see us for their first adjustment. Right. And vice versa. Right. That's a JV partnership. And you can do a lot of things like that. When I worked at a big solar company, we partnered up with all of the window installers and all the roof installers and all of the lighting retrofit companies. And because they're all serving people, the same people that we were serving. And we put offers together for them like, hey, if you send us business, here's what we'll do in return, right? It's JV partnership. You're borrowing someone else's audience. And a lot of times they're buying access to an audience, right? They're using the buy category to drive leads. And then if you hook up with them and do a JV deal, you can borrow that audience. And then instead of buying the audience yourself, you just pay a little commission or pay something to help offset their costs. So it offsets their costs for building their audience. It's a win-win situation. It's great. That's one example of borrowing audience. Another one that actually fits into our world of podcasting is being a guest speaker on someone else's podcast, right? And something that we do regularly, I've been on probably 50 plus different podcasts. And what we do is we go on those podcasts and we tell our story, right? Of what we do and how we do it and why we do it in the marketplace. And every time I do that, I get to tell my story in front of that podcaster's audience, right? So I'm borrowing their audience and getting to put my name up in front of them. And I get some of that trust and authority that they pass on to me by inviting me onto their show, right? And so it's really powerful that way. And the third category that I see sort of in borrow is when you speak on stages, right? If you get up and, you know, you speak at the local networking events or you speak at the conferences and events for your business category. If you go to the trade shows and you pay for the big sponsors where you get to have 10 or 15 or 30 minutes on stage in front of the thousands of people who are coming, you know, in your industry, you can borrow audience that way. So it's a humongous category for borrowing audience. And then the other one that fits in there, which is a lot of businesses do actually make use of, but if you're not, you absolutely should, is the referrals from your existing customers, right? You're borrowing their audience of friends and family who know them and like them and trust them. And when you do a good job for them, right, they can tell their friends and family about you. So you should, in your business, have some sort of referral program where they can get rewarded for that, right? And you incentivize borrowing their audience. So that's borrow. Any questions on that or thoughts or ideas?
Not too much other than, you know, maybe for the audience that like watches YouTube more often, another example could be like a collaboration with someone, which is essentially very similar to just a guest speaker. But when you're both working on the same project, you're getting it to both of your audiences.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of those things, like Mark Rober will work with like Smarter Every Day or something like that. And they'll do a project together and they both have millions of people who are subscribed to them. So they get more audience on both of their work when they do something together.
Mm-hmm. So very mutually beneficial.
Yeah. Borrowing audience. So that's the second way that you get your offers in front of people. The third way, which we're going to spend a bit more time talking about in a minute after we get through the four of these, is build. Right. And build is the category that we talk about with Push Button Podcasts. And that is the idea that you can create thought leadership style content in your marketplace, that if you do it enough in all the ways that we've been talking about throughout this whole series, right? You've got the good enough production quality, you've got the good content, you're doing it consistently, like all the things that we've talked about. If you create content that your audience wants to hear, your audience will grow, right? And that content can be on YouTube, it can be on the podcast networks, it can be turned into written content on your blogs, it can be turned into social media content. All of these are areas where you can build audience, right? You can get a Twitter following, you get an Instagram following, you can have subscribers on YouTube, you can have your email subscriber list, you can have your SMS subscriber list. All of those are things that are people who have raised their hand and say, you know what, Brandy has really good content on XYZ, right? On, you know, we could use your mom as an example. She does dog training, right? So her name's Brooke, by the way. Brooke does good dog training content on the internet. I want to know more about the way that she does these things. I might subscribe to her YouTube channel. I might subscribe to her Instagram account or her TikTok, wherever she's doing this content building, or wherever I like to consume content. Just as an example on that, one of the reasons we recommend having content on all the platforms, I, for the life of me, cannot stand short content. It drives me batty, right? Which is funny because I run a social media content. We produce a lot of short content. My wife loves it. She would absolutely prefer short content over long form content. And I'm like, nope, I want the 30-minute YouTube videos, right? I want and the hour long podcast. That's the way I am. And so you'll have different people in your audience, some of which are going to like the long form content. Some of them are going to like the audio content. Some of them are going to like the video content. Some are going to like the short form content. Mm-hmm. And so we always recommend
like all of the content.
Yeah, like all of it. Just give it all.
I'll take a 5-second short form content and I'll love it. And then I'll turn around and go watch a 5-hour long YouTube video on a topic I've never heard about before and will enjoy it just as much. So
in the build audience category, you want to create content that is beneficial to your audience. And we're going to talk about this in another episode, but that helps you build awareness, attention, and authority, right? The three A's. I mean, we'll do a whole episode about the three A's, but that's what your content is designed to do, is help you build awareness, attention, and authority in the marketplace. And you're going to do that by using, we're just going to have all sorts of alliteration today, the three E's being entertaining, educational, and empowering, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you do those things, if you are educational, entertaining, empowering, you can build attention, awareness, and authority, and then that helps you build an audience. In our four B's. So man, we just had all sorts of alliteration today. It's fun.
All of it.
That's the build stuff. And we'll come back more to that here in just a minute, because I think we can dive into a little bit, because that's our world. That's what we teach here at Push Button Podcast. But I want to go through the fourth category real quick, just so people have the whole overview. And that's blitz. So blitz is your cold outreach, right? Where you don't have a relationship with someone, but you want to get an offer in front of them anyways, because you know they're a good market match for your offer, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of examples in this space, and there's a lot of businesses that they don't do anything but this. You can build million and billion dollar businesses with just this one strategy, and it's cold outreach. So cold outreach is a number of things, right? It might be your direct mail to a specific either target location or a target set of people, right? You might do a direct mail piece of like, hey, I want to send this to all the chiropractors that are in Los Angeles County, right? Because you have a cool, you know, how to grow your chiropractor business offer or something like that, right? Or maybe you'll see this happen after a hurricane or after a hailstorm, that a company that does roof repair will do a direct mail to the entire zip code. Say, hey, if you have roof damage, or if you don't know if you have roof damage, you know, that rain can get in there and ruin your house. Yeah, and they'll put a message out to all of those people and say, hey, you should have us come inspect your roof, and they can get business that way, right? That's cold outreach with direct mail. And you have cold outreach you can do with email, right? So mm-hmm. we actually do this a lot. We send out thousands of emails a month in our business to business categories that we think would be good for podcasts. And, you know, it's a numbers game where you're just like, hey, if you email, you know, 2000 people a month, a couple of people would be raise their hand, be like, yep, we've been talking about that in our business. And you just got mm-hmm. this offer in front of us at the right time. Let's talk more. Right. Mm-hmm. And so email is a great way to build, to do that cold outreach. LinkedIn mm-hmm. is another one, right? We do a lot of LinkedIn outreach where you can find specific business categories on LinkedIn. You can reach out and build a connection with someone and start a DM conversation and turn those into bookings for your offer. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a numbers game, right? You talk to 1,000 people, maybe 5 or 6 of them are at that point right now where they're like, you know what? You got this offer in front of me right now. And that's the right time for mm-hmm. me. So that is the blitz audience. There's more ways that you can do cold outreach, but those are some of the big ones. Oh, cold calling is probably the fourth one that's really big there. So direct mail, cold calling, email, and LinkedIn probably cover like mm-hmm. 85% of the ways that you could do cold outreach to someone, but you can build a right. huge business with that. And the other thing that I really like about cold outreach is it is under the radar, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning if you either have proprietary systems or proprietary ideas or things that you don't want the marketplace to know about, or you're still testing things, doing the cold outreach is actually a really good way to grow your business because nobody can track what you're doing, right? If you do right. any of the other things, right? If you're speaking on stage, right? Everyone is hearing what mm-hmm. you're saying. They can hear your messages and model them and use them themselves. If you're doing advertising, everyone can see your ad. They're public. And a lot of the big mm-hmm. companies, Facebook, for instance, has an ad library. You can see every ad that's currently live on their entire platform for any business. You can right. look them up and search them and filter them and be like, hey, I want to know what my competition XYZ is advertising right now. And look mm-hmm. at those things and be like, oh, they've been running this ad for 6 months. That means it probably works. That means we should model it and do it ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So all the other categories, right? Even the build stuff that we talk about is all in public, meaning mm-hmm. that it can be modeled by your competition.
Right.
The blitz category can't, right? Because it's all mm-hmm. private and it's behind closed doors. So it's very difficult mm-hmm. for your competition to model. And so anyways, those are the four categories: buy, borrow, build, and blitz. Go ahead.
I just had a quick question, just out of my own curiosity. Even though it's not as popular to do anymore, wouldn't like a door-to-door salesperson technically fall under your blitz area?
It would. That would be a cold outreach, right? You're knocking on
cold outreach, yeah.
knocking on doors. If you've ever walked through the mall and had the people that are in the center aisle stop you to tell mm-hmm. you about their perfume or their thing, that's also cold marketing, right? You're reaching.
Gotcha.
They're literally reaching out and stopping you mm-hmm. to tell yes. you about their offer. And
might not so, be the best business advertising plan anymore, but it is but one,
it,
I would think.
It is one of them. And what's interesting is you can look at almost any marketing that is done on the planet and see how it fits into one of those four categories, right? Mm-hmm. How it fits into buy, borrow, build, or blitz. And so mm-hmm. I find it really useful as a business owner myself to look at these things and say, okay, what is my strategy in each one of mm-hmm. these categories? What's our buy strategy right now? What's our borrow mm-hmm. strategy right now? What's our build strategy right now? And what's our blitz strategy right now? And mm-hmm. maybe when something's doing well, you have more than one strategy in each of those categories. But what my recommendation for myself and then for in my mastermind with our other businesses and then all of my clients is to know, do you have a four-legged stool in your business for lead generation, right? Because there's a lot of businesses mm-hmm. who will be out there and they'll be like, listen, I only get my leads from referral, leads from Google Ads, whatever right. it is, but I only get my leads from email marketing. And mm-hmm. things change, right? Google has right. their famous slaps that they're like, nope, we no longer allow this type of advertising category, or mm-hmm. you know, the market shifts in something and it all changes. And if your business is reliant on just one lead source and that something changes where you can't rely on that lead source anymore, it can destroy your business. So mm-hmm. I always tell people you want to have that four-legged stool of, am I getting and building leads in all four of these categories? And it's okay to start with one and then build into another one. But I like to mm-hmm. always think through, how am I taking my business to the next level here, right? What is the next strategy that I'm adding? And sometimes it's really easy to think, you know, for instance, if we're buying ads on Facebook, that adding TikTok is a great next step. And it is, and it can be a way to scale your buy advertising strategy. My recommendation to people is like, if all of your strategies are in the buy category, maybe you should branch out and see, what can I do in the borrow? What can I do in the build? Mm-hmm. What can I do in the blitz category? And right. you get significantly more synergy in all of your things if you have categories, all of those, mm-hmm. You have strategies going in all those categories, right? And so
I think you can see that in very successful businesses. I mean, It's one that I like to point out a lot just because their advertising works on me. But like you see Scrub Daddy, Duolingo, yeah. They do their bot advertising, but they also have built their own following through their own social medias mm-hmm. just because they're very good at what they do. They have some, I think I've gotten some cold emails from them as well.
Yeah. So you'll see the businesses that are big are doing this, right? If they're big and globally or nationally recognized brands, they absolutely have strategies going in all four of these categories, right? It's a thing that big businesses do. And so if you have a business that wants to be a big business like ours, right, you're going to look at how do I grow my business into all four of those categories. And so The next thing I want to talk about with it is the speed of results that come from them, because mm-hmm. each one of them has their own sort of timeline for success and their own sort of KPIs, right? Mm-hmm. So your fastest category, we talked about this already, is going to be buy. Right. Mm-hmm. Because you could do things like on Facebook, be like, hey, I need to target all of the people in a specific city that have a specific set of outcomes or whatever. And I want to put my ad just in front of them. Right. And the buy can be a very rapid. I give you a dollar today, Facebook, and then you give me a lead back today. Right. Mm-hmm. And it can be that quick. Right. A lot of times there's more testing involved. It's not that simple. But the idea is it's a very fast strategy to test audiences, to test mm-hmm. your messaging, to test whether or not your offer works, and then to scale that messaging once you find one that works. The buy audience one is one of the fastest ways to do that. It's also one of the scariest ones because if you do it wrong, it just costs a bunch of money, right? And so that's why I always recommend having someone professional either teach you how to do it or have someone professional on your staff who knows how to do this rather than going in, losing your shirt on it and saying, hey, buying doesn't work, because it absolutely mm-hmm. does. And a lot of businesses build big businesses that way. So that's the buy category. Then your borrow category is probably your next fastest, because mm-hmm. it takes a little bit of effort, right, to either find the JV partnerships or to build the referral program or to do the reach outs to people to get on their podcast or get on their stages. But as an example, I get one relationship with one of the things that we're a sponsor for a big stage event, and I go to their event mm-hmm. and I speak on their stage, right? It took a little bit of time to get that relationship set up. Once that relationship is set up, I go speak on their stage once and we close 10 or 15 sales in, you know, one 45-minute talk. Right? It can be very fast in terms of generating leads for your business because you can build authority very quickly from stage. You can build authority very mm-hmm. quickly on someone else's podcast guests and getting in front of, you know, depending on the size of the podcast, it can be anywhere from a couple thousand to, you know, you get on Joe Rogan's podcast, you're getting in front of millions of people. Right?
Right.
And so it can be, you know, and everywhere in between, right? Obviously not mm-hmm. everyone's going to just get on Joe Rogan's podcast, but you sort of get the idea that depending on the mm-hmm. size of the business or the size of the podcast, it can have a dramatic impact very quickly. And the same sort of thing to think about is the larger the audience they have access to, mm-hmm. the more difficult it is going to be to get onto or in front of their audience, right?
Right.
So if they've got a couple of thousand people, it might just be a simple conversation, right? Hey, can I get in front of your audience? I've got cool things to share with them. Yes, I always need cool things mm-hmm. to share with my audience. If they've got millions of people on their audience, it might be like, hey, you can get in front of us, right? I know Grant Cardone, for instance, charges about $50,000 to be on his TV show. Right. Mm-hmm. So it might cost some money and you have to work through all of their things and then go through all of their approvals because they're just not going to put anyone in front of their audience because they have to protect that audience. Right. So you have to be valuable mm-hmm. and show up well. So that's probably your next fastest one and has, you know, a lot of benefits that go along with it. And then your third is going to be your blitz category. So your blitz mm-hmm. category is going to be all the cold outreach stuff that we talked to. The difference in your blitz is not your speed of implementation. It's actually the sales cycle is where the time happens with your blitz category. So the way I like to see if I can frame this for our audience is if you're doing the buy category or the borrow category, what's happening is you're building all of the authority with someone mm-hmm. before you have the sales conversation, right? They're seeing your ads. They're going through your sales funnels. They're seeing all of your marketing pieces before they ever get on a call with your sales guy or get to your sales page on your website, right? So you've built all of that authority and marketplace stuff ahead of time. So mm-hmm. when they get to the buying decision, that's why it can be fast, because they're like, okay, I know I'm ready to buy, click the link, go through the checkout page, order the product, done, right? So the actual sales process is a lot shorter if you're mm-hmm. in the buy category or the build or the borrow category, because you've done all that building with them ahead of time. In the blitz category, you're going to be reaching out to someone cold, right? They don't know you from Adam. Right. And so they're just going to see your offer and either have that problem or not. And if they have that problem, they may be like, I'm interested. Let me know more. Right. And now mm-hmm. you're going to have to start that process with them of building that like and trust and authority. And that might be a sales call or two or three, or it might be a series mm-hmm. of emails. It might be all of your marketing is going to start after you get a positive response to that outreach. right? And so depending on your service and how much it costs and what marketplace you're in, right, the marketing really starts with that person after they've responded to your first cold outreach message. And so it's going to take more time to close your sales. For instance, with us in Push Button Podcast, when we have a buy or borrow category lead, the close time is usually about 2 weeks or less. We've had the experience with the borrow stuff where I speak on stage and someone will come up to me directly after I'm speaking, hand me their credit card and say, I want to buy right now, right? So it can be very fast on that side. On the blitz category, when we do the cold outreach email or cold outreach on LinkedIn, it usually takes us on average 3 months from the first positive contact to a closed business, right? So immediate versus 3 months, that's where the time comes in on the blitz category. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. Yeah, for sure.
And then we can dive into the build category, because this is where I think most people struggle with what it means to actually build a content marketing plan in their business. This is where I want to spend the rest of the time on this particular episode, is talking about the build category. And the build category takes the longest amount of time, but it also has the most impact on your business. And so we'll talk about it for a few different ways. But the first one is that your content is not the kind of thing that you're going to put out content today and get leads from it today, or even tomorrow, or even 6 months from now, right? And if you put out a piece of content and expect that it's going to do something for your business, it's not going to work, right? And so we've talked a lot about this of, you know, throughout our whole series here, of like, you have to consistently put out good enough production quality content that's answering people's questions and actually doing good stuff for long enough that it starts to make an impact on your business. And so I tell people, tell our clients in particular, that you have to expect that you're going to shell out the time and energy and money for a bare minimum of 6 months before your content marketing even starts to show an impact on your business, let alone ROI, right? Which is why we tell people that, like, your build category is not an early business play, right? No. If you just started your business today, start with the buy category, right? Start somewhere else. But when you've got successful strategies going in the other categories, or you're like, hey, I really want to get into the content marketing game, and your business can afford to put the time into it, it has a tremendous impact on building the leads that will buy from you 6 months from now, or will buy from you a year from now, or 2 years from now, right?
Right.
And so it's a long-term play, and it's a long-term play that only gets more powerful the longer you do it, right? And so using some big names as an example, right? If you're looking on YouTube at someone like a Mark Rober or a Mr. Beast, right? You know, Mr. Beast is like one of the richest people in the world today because he's been doing content marketing for more than a decade, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing that you'll see happen with, and there's probably just so many big names that we could just point to: Grant Cardone, Alex Hormozy, you know, the Smarter Every Day, what is that other one? Mental Floss, right? Z Frank, if you're interested in the nature stuff, right? They put the content, the effort into the content long enough that they are unignorable in the marketplace. Right.
And if you think, just wanted to put something in here, if you're worried about like the content that you're producing and thinking it's not very good, I very much so encourage you to go watch some of the early content from those big name creators. Like you said, you'll see that they started in the same spot you did.
Kind of thing that gets more powerful with time, right? Consistency over time in content marketing completely changes the game for your business, right? And, you know, whether or not you have any desires to be as big as a Mr. Beast or a Grant Cardone, it doesn't really matter. The important part here is to know that content marketing is a long-term play that gets stronger with time and consistency, right? And so the more you do it, the more impact it'll have on your business, because more people will know you, more people will like you, more people will trust you. And that is how it has like a tremendous impact over the course of time. And so the way I like to sort of teach people this sort of concept is with something that I call the buyer's journey. Have you ever heard of the buyer's journey before?
I personally, I can't say that I have.
So Eugene Schwartz is real famous for coming up with the buyer's journey. And the buyer's journey is the stages of awareness that someone has with a problem. And so the stages of awareness are, they're unaware that they have a problem. Then something happens, they become aware that they have a problem. And then they go into something they call solution aware. They're looking for a solution. And then they become product aware. And then they become most aware or ready to buy, right? And so I like to simplify that a little bit. And I talk about it as the what, why, how, now, right? So you start off, I don't know that I have a problem. Something happens, right? My example for people is always like, you go to the doctor, right? And as far as you're aware, you're fine. But you go to the doctor and he does all their tests for your annual physics. Physical and your annual physical. And the doctor pulls out all the test results and goes, I have bad news for you. You're fat, sick, and nearly dead. And now your first response is what? Right? Like, because you were unaware that you had a problem. And now something happened that you are aware that you have a problem, right? Maybe you just got married or you just had a kid and now you need a bigger house, right? Something happened and now you have that what question of like, okay, now I know I have a problem. I need to go and find a bigger house. Or if you're talking in this podcast world, you're like, I realized that my marketing is all leaning entirely on this buy category and I have nothing going to help me build an audience long-term, right? Maybe I need to do something about that, right? That's that what stage. And so that's that unaware to, I think Eugene Schwartz calls it problem aware. We call that what's the problem? And so that's moving into that category. Then your next stage is why, right? Why do I have that problem? And so the why is, you know, doctor comes out and tells you you're fat, sick, and nearly dead. Your next question is why? You have to identify the enemy. What's the reason that I'm fat, sick, and nearly dead? And the reason you're fat, sick, and nearly dead might be any number of things, right? Be like, you don't diet. You don't have a good exercise routine. Maybe you only eat sugar and junk food and you've never exercised a day in your life, right? That kind of thing. It could be as simple as that. It could be something else. Maybe you have cancer that's causing your body to not process things properly. It doesn't matter what it is. The idea is there is a reason why you have this problem. And so the why category, as a content creator, what you're helping people do is identify the enemy. What is the enemy that's causing you to have this problem? And so that's the why category. The next category is how. Okay, you know that I am fat, sick, and nearly dead. I know why I am because I don't have, you know, I'm not exercising, I'm not eating well. So how do I solve that? Right? That's the next category is how do I solve that problem? And so that the how do I solve that problem is going to be the solutions, right? What are the solution aware stuff of like, I want to, you know, I need to go on a diet. I need to exercise. I need to hire a coach, right? Whatever those things are, there's a thing that you can do to help solve. And then the last category, the ready to buy, I call now. So, right. What, why, how, and now are the major levels of awareness. And so the now category is you're standing sort of on the edge of needing to take action. Right. Because if you don't do anything, right, if you keep your diet the way that it is and you keep your workout routine the way that it is, you're not going to magically get healthier. It's not going to happen. Right. If you're sitting in your house and you have a baby on the way in 9 months and you don't do anything to go get a new house, when the baby comes, you're not going to magically have another room appear in your house. You need to do something about that. Maybe you need to do an addition. Maybe you need to buy a house. Right. Like action needs to be taken in order for you to solve the problem. And that's the now category. The now category is I need to do something. I need to hire someone. I need to do something. I need to take some sort of action to solve this problem and actually get into action. And so that's the now category for those four levels of awareness.
Are you ready to amplify your influence and stand out from the noise? Join Richard Matthews on PBP.fm as he explores the power of podcasting, social media, and strategic content to boost your reach. You'll discover the latest trends in video, audio, and influencer marketing, plus unlock insider tips to create binge-worthy content spotlighting you as a leader. With upbeat energy and clear, empowering advice, Richard guides publishers, experts, and entrepreneurs on starting a podcast, improving social strategy, and connecting with your perfect audience. Visit pbp.fm and book a podcast strategy session to start spreading your message today.
So when we're talking about content marketing in the marketplace, what you're doing is you're creating content that is going to help people at all five of those stages, right? People who are unaware that they have a problem, people who are aware that they have a problem but need to identify their enemies, people who know what the enemies are and are looking for solutions on how to solve those, and then people who are ready to take action and need to know what the next steps are, right? So, and those might be your offers, they might be your content, might be a lot of different things, right? You'll see this on a lot of YouTube creators will do this, be like, hey, if you like this content, the stuff that we talk about here, you might really like our Patreon account. You might really like our create box that we do. You might really like XYZ, then a promotion into something further in their funnel. So what you're doing with content marketing is you're talking to people at all of the different stages of their journey, which means that their distance from when they're going to buy can be vastly different, right? So if you're creating a piece of content for someone who is at the end of their buyer's journey, they might see your content, really like it, and take action on the offer that you have. Right? Like right now. So it could be something that happens very quickly, but you could also be talking to someone who's completely unaware that they have a problem. Right. And they need to go through that entire buyer's journey with you before they get to the end and are like, okay, I'm ready to do something about this. And that buyer's journey might be anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months to a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way that I like to describe that in the context of a few different businesses, right? So some businesses have really long buyer's journeys. And we've mentioned buying a house, right? Buying a house got a long buyer's journey, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, you got to go through, like, you guys just bought a house last year, right? And moved it all in. It took a very long time. It was almost like 2 years, right? And so that whole process can take forever. And so generally speaking, the higher the ticket price, right? Or the more complex the decision, the longer the buyer's journey is going to be, right? So buying a house, hiring an attorney, doing remodeling work, right? Hiring a vendor to do complicated content marketing stuff like with Push Button Podcast, the longer the journey is or the more expensive it is for you, for the business or for the person, the longer that buyer's journey is going to be, the more effective content marketing will be in helping to drive leads in that business, right? Mm-hmm. If you go the other side of the spectrum to businesses that have very short buyer's journeys, we talked about restaurants earlier. You're on the road, you're hungry, you see the thing that says McDonald's and two exits, you're like, your buyer's journey goes from am hungry, stop at McDonald's, right? It can take 20 minutes, right? And that's the entire buyer's journey. Go all the way from problem aware to unaware to problem aware to having the solution in their hands in 20 minutes. And so you'll notice that McDonald's doesn't do a lot of content marketing because they don't need to, because they have a very short buyer's journey. And so the businesses for whom doing a big build sort of category for their businesses are the ones that have those longer buyer's journeys or the more complex decisions that they're making. So it's a lot of service businesses, right? If you're everything from lawn care to attorneys to chiropractic, any of those things where, you know, someone is going to spend a couple of paychecks worth of money to hire you for a year, right? Or maybe, you know, if you're lawn care forever, right? And they might be your lawn care specialist for 20 years, right? That's going to be a humongous chunk of their money that's going to you over the course of time, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure they get the right person. And so those buyer's journeys are really going to be what's important to know for generating leads and stuff in your business. So that, does that make sense?
That definitely makes a lot of sense. Yeah, very much so. I mean, big ticket items, it takes more kind of convincing your clients and stuff that you're the right person. Even if they're ready to kind of act now, you got to convince them that they should act now with you.
Yeah. And so the other side of that is one of the things that's really useful to note. All of the other categories, all of them, right? Buy, borrow, and blitz are all targeting people who are in the ready to buy stage and maybe just before that. So if you're advertising to someone, if you are getting on stage and trying to get someone to buy from you, they need to already know that they have this problem and they know what it is and they want to solve it, right? And we talked a little bit with like the blitz category. When you're email 2,000 people, you know, two or three of those people are going to be like, I have this problem right now. You can solve it for me. Let's talk more. Right. So you're targeting those people that are at the last stage of their buyer's journey. And so if you look at whatever business your business is in, the number of people who currently have that problem that you can talk to, we call that your total addressable market, is going to be the smallest in the now category, the people who are ready to buy now. And you step back, the people who are in the how category will be bigger. You step back to the why category, it'll be bigger. You step back to the what category, it'll be bigger. You step back to the people who are unaware they even have the problem. That'll be the biggest category of all of people. Mm-hmm. Further back you go, the longer the buying process is going to be before they're ready to buy. But the build category is the only one that allows you to target the people that are in the previous categories. And it's where the most of your market exists right now. The overwhelming majority of your market is unaware that they even have a problem. So you have to be able to educate them about what their problem is. You have to be able to educate them about how to solve that problem, right? And that takes time. And it's why the build category is so powerful and why it gets stronger over time. Because the more you do this work, the more you show up in the marketplace, the more of that gigantic market who is unaware that you help move through that buyer's journey, you are making your own now category that nobody else can talk to. Right. Because they know you, like you, trust you. One of my favorite examples of that is in the house buying space. Right. So, you know, you talked about this before, but, you know, you guys bought a house and or I guess you upgraded your house. Right. Same kind of thing. Yes. But you took one house off, put another house in a space, same land.
Pretty much.
But that process takes a long time. And so if you are going through that process, realizing, OK, I need to move into a new house. Right. You've just recently become aware of it and you start seeing content coming up. You know, there's Brandy. Brandy's a real estate agent, right? and you know, this mm-hmm. is the world I'm putting you in. You're a real estate agent, Brandy, yes. right? That you're creating content about the city that you live in, right? All the mm-hmm. restaurants, you're creating content about all the cool parks that are in town. You're talking to all the local politicians and you're talking to on your podcast as an example, right? You're mm-hmm. doing all these things and in every single one of those things, you're like, hey, by the way, if you're looking to buy or move in this community, I'm a real estate agent. Here's what I do, right? Short mm-hmm. little blurb at the beginning or end of your stuff. You're creating all this content and be like, I'm right. scrolling through all this stuff every single day. It may be like, I'm not interested in Brandy's content at this point, right? Because I'm not like, I'm either not selling in this city or I'm not. So, but I'll see you all every day, right? There she is again. Mm-hmm. There's Brandy talking about the community. There's Brandy talking about the community. There's Brandy talking about the community. And then suddenly I find out my wife is pregnant and we need a bigger house. Now, when I see Brandy talking about the community and all these things, I'm like, I know Brandy. I've seen all of her stories. Even if I haven't paid attention to them, I know she's always talking mm-hmm. about this community. And so now I start paying attention and I watch a video. Or maybe I watch two videos. And now that I've watched the videos, all the algorithms everywhere and be like, oh, something changed with Mr. Richard. He's paying attention mm-hmm. to Brandy's content. I should show more of Brandy's content to him. Now I'm going to see yep. more and more of your content in my feeds all the way through. Right. Mm-hmm. And that might be several months of that happening before I'm like, okay, now I need to think I should probably start more actively looking into like, what are the areas of the community that I'm looking for? So maybe I go to your channel and I look through and I'm like, okay, she's got a whole section on like this part of the community that I really like. Maybe I'll watch her whole playlist on that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'll check out these things. Right. So hopefully I'm sort of painting this picture for you, but you see how content marketing is talking to someone that's not going to be a lead today, but right. over the course of 6 months or a year or 2 years, they will become a lead. So you're doing this mm-hmm. work now to create tomorrow's business. And so if you can create tomorrow's business, you become what I call uncompete-withable, right? That's my fancy word of the day. Because what'll happen is I need to hire Brandy as my real estate agent, or I need to hire a real mm-hmm. estate agent. All of the other agents are going to come out of the woodwork now, right? When I hit that ready to mm-hmm. buy stage and all the algorithms recognize, oh, he's ready to buy. Let's start showing him all the ads yep. for the real estate agents. And maybe you start showing up on the list for the cold outreach stuff and be like, oh, it looks like you know, you've got a baby coming along. Have you considered buying a bigger house? And you get on the lists that, you know, the cold email and the cold mm-hmm. what do you call them? The direct mail lists that start showing up at your house because somebody somewhere saw that you spent money on, you know, on baby formula on your credit card and all that data gets sold everywhere. They know,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. All that stuff happens. Now you start getting targeted for all those ads. Now you get to mm-hmm. that point where you're ready to hire an agent and you see 15 different ads from 15 different people that are all showing up now. And you see that one ad from Brandy in that same space, mm-hmm. right? Because you're doing that buy stuff. Who's the person that you're going to click on the ad for, right? Because you know Brandy, you've heard her stories, you've seen her talk, you know her, you like her, you trust her. And so you become the default choice in someone's mind over mm-hmm. the course of time. But the idea that I wanted to get across is that the length of time that you can put into your content is going to determine how successful it is. Right. And so that's why most people struggle with the content marketing, right? That one of the things that we find really interesting in the podcasting space is the average podcast never makes it past its 10th episode, right? If you get 10 episodes in, if you publish right. your 11th episode, you're already in the top 3% of podcasts. If you get to 50 episodes, mm-hmm. you're in the top 1% of podcasts. If you get past 100 episodes, you're in the top 0.5% of podcasters in the world, right? And so that's 100 episodes is essentially 2 years of weekly content. And most people don't do that. And so if we're talking yeah. about businesses that I'm like, hey, your content marketing is going to create a 2-year pipeline for you. And most people never get their content marketing past 2 years. You can see why people struggle with content marketing, right? Because it requires you to put in the time and effort, sometimes long before you see the result for it, which is, I'm like, you have to have, it's a late game business play, you know, mid to late game business play where you have revenue yes. coming in, your business can support the effort of doing all of this. But it's the kind of thing that once you do it, right, if you put in the time, nobody else is going to be able to compete with you, right? That's where the whole uncompete withable term comes from, mm-hmm. is that you're like, okay, listen, I've been doing this long enough
yes.
that, you know, nobody else can take my space. One of my favorites is an old friend of mine in my hometown was a chiropractor. He was our chiropractor. And the reason he was our chiropractor is because mm-hmm. we found him from his podcast that he did all the time. He did a little YouTube video podcast and he just promoted it locally, you know, a couple dollars a day to everyone who lived within a few miles of his thing. And he promoted that was the only marketing he did for years, was just mm-hmm. this podcast talking about chiropractic stuff. And when I went around and interviewed all of the chiropractors in town, because we were trying to find one for my wife who was pregnant at the time, I was like, and what do you guys think about so-and-so, right? this other chiropractor? And they're universally like, we hate that guy. And I was like, why? And they're like, because he gets all the business, right? We have to struggle and fight for all the business, and he's got his, everyone's knocking down his doors all the time. We don't know what he's doing. And I was like, I know what he's doing, but like, I run a podcasting business. And so they all recognized that it was impossible to compete with him. They could compete with each other, but they could only compete for space number two. They couldn't compete for space number one because he owned it. He owned the marketplace because of his long-term content marketing strategy. He was using podcasting for that, right? But it took years, right? It took years to get to that point. But once you do, right, is there, you know, in your head, is there anyone who does better, you know, content for creative, fun things than Mark Rober, right? Like when Mark Rober puts out a video, well, you know, if you're in that space, like he's the only one. Right. He's the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla. If you're in the real estate space and you're looking at that, you know, wanting to get into, you know, REITs and some of the other things that Grant Cardone talks about, he's the only one, right? He owns the category because he's done the work. Gary Vaynerchuk is the same way, right? If you want to talk about social media content and how you use social media to grow your business, everybody knows Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a household name because he's put in years and years of effort into his content marketing so that you will know who he is. Same thing with Alex Hormozi. If you're looking at acquisitions and wanting to grow your company and get acquired, right? His content on marketing, he's been putting years and years of effort into. And if I know correctly, Alex Hormozi says he spent something like $70,000 a month on content marketing. It's insane. Gary Vaynerchuk has a 26-person content marketing team last time I checked, which was like a year and a half ago. So it's probably bigger now, right? 26 people. He's got more payroll on his content marketing team than my whole company, right? And so his content marketing is larger than my business. And he's probably larger than a lot of people's businesses because I understand how important it is, right? One of the things that I find really fascinating, this is Alex Hormozi's book, $100 Million Leads, right? Or $100 Million. And he talks about, he also talks about four categories. He has them named differently, but it's same basic stuff. I like mine better because they fall in the buy, borrow, build, blitz stuff and it's more alliteration. But regardless,
alliteration
on his stuff where he talks about content marketing is the only one that got two chapters in his book. Everything else only got one chapter. Content marketing got two chapters. And it's the one thing that Alex Hormozi said, I wish I could go back in time and realize that I should have done content marketing earlier because it has a tremendous leveraged impact over time, right? It's one of those compound interest kind of things, right? If you can put a, you know, double your penny every day in a month, you have $1 million kind of thing. That's what content marketing is. Yeah.
Exponential
it's exponentially
growth.
Powerful for your business. If you can get past the first couple of years, it's going to take a lot of time, money, and effort before it starts to return. Because once it starts to return, it returns insane, right? And just one last example for people as we're talking through this is just with our own business, with Push Button Podcasts, right? We started The Hero Show 2017, 2018 timeframe. We started Push Button Podcasts as a service to help other people build podcasts in end of 2018. At the time of this recording, it's 2024, middle of 2024. And my podcast didn't do anything for my business for years, right? But we did it every week because I knew it was important and valuable. And then 2022 starts happening. We start getting more and more attention, right? Not necessarily from view count, but from people who are interested in coming on and being a part of our show. We start to get some of our first partnerships because of that. And those partnerships start to leading to more sales and they start leading to growth. We get to 2023 and 2023, our business 8.5x'd. Revenue-wise, from January to December of 2023, the only marketing we were doing was our podcast, right? That's all we were doing. We're doing a lot more now. We're doing all four of the categories for our business now, but 8.5x our business 4.5 years in, right? That doesn't happen with almost any of the other categories, but it does happen with the build category. So that's sort of it. I've sort of run out of my things to talk about on the build category, but what are your thoughts on all of that? Because I know this is your world. You do content marketing constantly. So I've spoken my piece. Let's hear a little bit from you and, you know, the next generation, where you see content marketing going and why you think it's important for businesses.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you that don't know, I'm 19. I'm definitely Gen Z. And I see that content marketing is definitely going to be one of the most important in my generation. I mean, my generation, if an ad comes on TV, we're scrolling on our phones. We're not paying attention to it. You know, most of us don't listen to the radio anymore. We're streaming from services that we pay for to not have any ads. YouTube ads, we hit the skip button as soon as it comes up, or we have ad blockers. So the only thing we can't really escape from and we might actually pay attention to is going to be the content marketing, you know, stuff like that. The only other similar ones would be like the borrow, but definitely I think building is where it's at, to be perfectly honest.
I think it is the kind of thing that every business needs to be talking about. If you don't have a strategy here, right? You know, if we go back 10, 15 years ago and you're talking to the millennial generation, right? We were all talking about, hey, you need to get your business onto the internet, right? Because the millennials won't work with your business if it's not on the internet. If they have to go to the yellow pages, you might as well not exist. And, you know, as the millennials were coming into their money spending years, right? This is college. This is having their first family, buying their first home, getting their jobs, getting their careers started. Your money spending years start 18 to 35, right? And this is where Gen Z is just starting to come into, right? You're just starting to come into your money spending years. And that's where the next, you know, I'm not telling you to ignore the other generations, but if you want to see the future, the current generation that's moving into their money spending years sets all of the trends. All the other generations follow. It's happened time and time again. You can look through history and see this, that even grandma is susceptible to really good content marketing, right? You know, my mother, who is a grandma to 14 grandchildren, will tell you, she'll be like, have you seen this CreateBox thing that Mark Rober's putting out? Because all of her grandkids are telling her about Mark Rober. And she's like, I think this grandson in particular would be really interested in the CreateBox thing. Content marketing works on her, right? It works on every generation.
Yes.
And so when you have...
And the thing is, it works on them because it works on the younger generations.
And so...
And the younger generations tell
so
them
the
about
point,
it.
The point that we're trying to make here is that the youngest generation that's coming into their money spending years right now is Generation Z, and they will almost exclusively respond to the type of marketing that is building that know-like trust in the marketplace, right? That's why you mentioned the borrow category, right? Your collaborations, your joint ventures, your speaking on stages, those kind of things, that works.
Right.
And the build category, where you're creating that content and you're building that audience. Those things work for this generation. And if you don't have a strategy there, you absolutely should.
Yes, very much so. All right. Well, I don't have any more questions or really too much more input.
If you're interested in learning how to build a content marketing strategy for your business, subscribe to this podcast, right? The PPP.FM podcast is going over how businesses can use content marketing to grow their brand. And that's all we do here. So if you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button.
Yep.
Check us out on all of our different channels. We create shorts, we create written content, we create all sorts of fun stuff to help businesses like yours learn how to do this part of business, right? The buy, borrow, build, blitz. We help teach people how to do the build category for your business. And my recommendation, again, is if you don't have something in all four of those categories, see how you can build a strategy for all of those. If you need help with that build category, reach out to us. We can help.
100%. All right. Well, I think we can go ahead and wrap up then. You took my line of like, comment, and subscribe. So I think we can go ahead and wrap up.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining us this week on PBP.FM. Make sure to visit our website, PBP.FM, where you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. And if you'd like to get help building an omnipresent content marketing strategy with a podcast and you want help, you might want to book a podcast strategy session with us at PBP.FM. Just click the Book a Strategy Session button and book a time on our calendar. We look forward to speaking with you. And be sure to tune in next week for our next episode.